In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, Paul says, "You're our epistle, known and read by all. We are the light of the world," Jesus says. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven." And it's Jesus who said, "I'm the light of the world," John 8, verse 12. "Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In other words, this glorious gospel, this light, will give life to all who hear it, who believe it, and who obey it. Paul's outlook on his ministry is critical. You see, we begin in verse 1 and we tag along at verse 6 that Paul saw his ministry as glorious because it was about God. It revealed who God was, but we really don't know who God is without Jesus. But we can see his face. We know who he is. And the reason we do is because the Holy Spirit has inspired the word that we love, including these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But I submit to you that Paul's outlook on his ministry resulted in a number of key outcomes. And when you think about these outcomes, you now see Paul's approach to his ministry, his appreciation of it, and his approach to it. First of all, notice, because of this glorious ministry, and Paul understands, I've gotten it from God, not because of my own goodness or my own achievements. He's entrusted it to me. Therefore, I will not quit. His outlook on his ministry prevented him from being a quitter. Why would Paul ever even consider quitting? Can we even fathom? I believe it's because Paul understood who the real enemy was. The real enemy in this situation is not God, but it's Satan. If you look at those verses again in 2 and 3, you'll see that Satan is the god of this world. And if the gospel is hidden from people, it's because Satan has veiled it. He has hidden it from them. He is the god of this world. And the people who live for this world, who are led by this world, are subjects of Satan. And he is the culprit here. Paul knew who his enemy was. Paul knew that Satan was powerful. He never underestimated him or forgot him. I wonder if Paul ever thought about this. People telling me I'm a great preacher. Wherever I go, people tell me, "You're a wonderful preacher and you've done so much good in your life." Then why in the world aren't more people obeying the gospel? Why aren't more people coming to the Lord? I did a great work in Corinth, but there should be so many more that obey the gospel. Why aren't they? Maybe in that moment, Paul could think, "Well, I'm not good enough, and maybe someone else should do it, and maybe I should walk away." I think there were moments when Paul was discouraged, and maybe those temptations flooded his mind. But he knew who the real enemy was here. The real enemy was Satan. There wasn't anything wrong with Paul. There wasn't anything wrong with his message. There wasn't anything wrong with his life, his ministry. It was Satan who was working in the world too. And it was Satan who was misleading people and deceiving people and blinding people with the darkness. So Paul's outlook on his ministry, his great appreciation of it, led to this outcome that he did not quit. But a second outcome, it prevented him from being a deceiver. Notice Paul makes it very clear in this passage, "I'm not going to deceive other people. I'm not going to try to hoodwink others." In other words, I'm going to be honest. The reason that Paul's ministry was sincere and genuine is because he wasn't like the false teachers who did use deceit, who did use deception, who did blind the eyes and the minds of people they misled or led away from the church at Corinth, led away from the Lord. Paul's glorious ministry that he had received from God, entrusted to his care, he had saw what it could do. He wasn't about to diminish it, compromise it, discredit it. It was the power to save men. He knew that, Romans 1:16. He did not revert to deceiving people. And then think about this, the way he looked at his ministry, this glorious ministry, this light that had been given to him, a light that he was to shine upon the lives of others, was something that prevented him from being a self-promoter. Paul, you'll notice in verses 4 and 5, never promoted himself. This was never about Paul. How many times do I think it's about me? How many times am I tempted to think it's about me and conclude it's about me? To Paul, it was never about him. To Paul, it was always about Jesus. His message was Jesus Christ, the Lord. And his message was one of service. He said, I'm a slave, a bondservant. I'm your slave. I'm your servant. It wasn't about the messenger with Paul. It was about the message. And so Paul didn't promote himself. He didn't think of himself first. He thought of the Lord first. He thought of serving others first. That's the sincerity of his ministry. He was genuine, and that kept him going even when he was discouraged. He was genuine. Therefore, he stood with the truth because he was honorable and honest. But he was also someone who promoted Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus Christ. That was his message, the cross of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. He didn't try to use the wisdom of men, the flattery of men. He simply tried to preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul's appreciation of his ministry, the fact that it was a glorious ministry, one that he had received from God, one in which God could work through him. His approach to ministry was not to promote himself, but to promote Jesus Christ. We have a ministry. Each and every one of us has a ministry. If we're a Christian, if we're a child of God, we've been called into a ministry. And that ministry is given to us by God, by His grace, by His mercy. And it's a glorious ministry because of what it can accomplish. Not because of what we can accomplish, but what God can accomplish through us by it. How much do we appreciate our ministry? Do we know that we have one? Do we realize that even whatever happens around us, even when we age, we still have a ministry? And it's out of appreciation for what God has done and continues to do through us that we don't quit, that we don't deceive others, trying to be someone we're not, but comfortable being who we are. We don't promote ourselves. We promote Jesus Christ. What happens when this glorious gospel, the light of this gospel, comes into the life of someone who is lost? What happens when this glorious gospel, this light of God, enters into a life that's filled with darkness because of discouragement? What happens? Notice what Paul says in verse 6. He says there's light that shines in the darkness, and that light dispels that darkness. What Paul is going back to is creation. He's going back to the very beginning in those first few verses of Genesis 1, when the earth was full of darkness, and God let the light shine in that darkness, and that which was empty and formless became full and formed. It was that light that shone in that darkness that made all God would do come to life and come into focus. It's the same with someone who's never obeyed the gospel, with someone who's lost, who's been blinded by Satan, who's in the dark. It's the same with someone who's been blinded by Satan, who's even a Christian, but is so discouraged and giving up, they need help. They're in the darkness. But just as that light dispelled that darkness in the very beginning, so the light of our glorious gospel, His glorious gospel, can penetrate the darkness of a man's life and fill him with light that produces life. And so here is Paul referring to someone who hears the gospel and obeys it as someone who is a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Literally, a new creation. All things are past. Behold, all things are new. Only God can do that. Only this glorious gospel can achieve that. Paul knew that. Paul had seen that work. Paul knew what God could do and what he could do even through him. As weak as he was, as sinful as he was, as flawed as he was, he knew God could help him and God could help others with him. And so he appreciated what he had. He knew what he possessed in Jesus, do we? He didn't focus on what he didn't have. He focused on what he had. Now, what do we have? And in spite of all the things we don't have, do we not have the greatest of gifts in Christ and in this glorious gospel? I think it's funny, in a way, that I'm here today. And it's by the grace of God that I am here today. But I remember when I started here. In 1981, I was all of 22 years old. I knew it all. Well, I'd been to Fried Hardeman. I'd graduated from Fried Hardeman. You know everything if you do that, right? Kathy was 19. I know what you're thinking. He robbed the cradle. You're correct, I did. I got the last good one out of Kentucky, so if you're looking for a girl out of Kentucky, forget it. I got the last good one. When we came here, she was 19 years old. She just turned 19. The elders asked her to teach the teenage girls on Sunday morning. She's 19 now. She had never taught a class before in her life. She had never taught a teenage girls class ever in her life. Some of the girls in that class were her age. She never let on. Like the real trooper she is, she just got in there and did the work. Arnell Adcock became her co-teacher. And together they taught that class. And Kathy's been teaching ever since. And Kathy found her confidence because someone here believed in her. When I came here as the youth minister, the elders assigned me to the fifth grade on Sunday morning. I thought I was being demoted. I thought I was to work with the teenagers. What do you mean, fifth graders? That's beneath me. I graduated from Fried Hardeman. I should be teaching the teenagers. I didn't know how lucky I was. The elders put me in the fifth grade because, you see, when they became junior high students and high school students, they were my kids. That youth group I inherited belonged to someone else. And even someone else before him. And those kids felt like they'd been dumped. So they weren't going to listen to anyone. They were hurt. And I tried all I could to help them. But what they needed more than anything else was to graduate. But that fifth grade class became our kids. The 5 years that we spent here were the five best years of my life. I'll never be able to duplicate it. And I've tried. It's because someone believed in us and gave us a chance. Entrusted to us a glorious ministry, a light that could expel all darkness. Kathy has one memory here among many that stands out to her. She, I think, had turned 20 years old. It was in 1982. And the elders approached her about being on a committee for a ladies' day. Now, she had never done that. And she was on that committee with June Odom, Billy Patterson, Louise Dixon, and Arnell Adcock. Now you talk about a variety of ages, a diversity of talents, and then you have little Kathy Powell on that committee. But Kathy said, they accepted me for who I was. And they engaged me, and they used me for what I could do. Nothing more, nothing less. They just simply believed in me. God believes in each and every one of us. He believes that what He has entrusted to us, we can keep. And as we use it, we can bring light into a world filled with darkness and into the lives of people who have their lives filled with darkness because of Satan, or people whose lives are filled with the darkness of discouragement. We do have a ministry, and may God help us to use that ministry every single day of our lives.
Number 197. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.